This is ARRL's Eclectic Tech, a bi-weekly look at the technical and scientific side of amateur radio with your host Steve Ford, WB8IMY. Eclectic Tech is brought to you by ICOM. ICOM, for the love of ham radio, is about the passion for an incredible hobby. Visit ICOM in the community webpage at www.icomamerica.com/community.
I'm on the telephone with Lynn Holcomb, NI4Y. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, you've got to tell me how you got the nickname Lynn.
Okay. So my legal name is Gregory Franklin Holcomb. My grandfather's nickname was Frank. My mother's name is Linda. They thought it was a great idea quite some time ago, and I really didn't have a choice in the matter. And I've tried to switch to Greg twice, and after leaving college, and I just can't do it. In my line of work, being around equipment and things in food manufacturing plants, it would be dangerous for me to not answer and or not know that they were going to tell me look out for that big pot of oil or something. So I stuck with it. My wife says I didn't get the memo from the college professors, but anyway, so that's how I got Lynn.
Well, I wanted to get that out there in case somebody looks you up on QRZ.com and says, wait a minute, this is not this fellow's name.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing is that with I was licensed in 1990, and back then, people just asked you your name and they wrote it down and they went on. And now with the internet, with QRZ and pre-populating logs and all that, I get Gregory a lot. So I just roll with it. It doesn't matter.
Well, the reason we're talking, Lynn, is that I found out in the amateur radio press that you are operating an experimental station, WL2UXP, and you're doing it outside the ham band, specifically on 40 megahertz, correct?
Well, I'm going to correct you on one thing.
Okay.
It's WL2XUP.
WL2XUP. Okay.
And that X is very important because it looks like a ham radio call sign to almost everybody, right? From Alaska, even. But the X tells the FCC that it's an experimental station. So that I've gotten that a few times as well. People asking me about it as they think in Alaska, I had to get QRZ to fix it. And they were very gracious and handled it. But yeah, so I had been looking at the operations in Ireland, and I've always been one of these people who's been interested in unusual bands in ham radio. Even when I was studying for my technician, I was interested in, why aren't people on 900 megahertz in 1990? So actually I participated in the rewrite of the band plan in Sierra Land for getting 25 megahertz split. So I've been kind of in this, I want to do something unusual in ham radio as well as the usual fun stuff. But I just got a wild hair one night and went on the FCC website and applied for an experimental license. And lo and behold, to my surprise, they approved it.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, and you've answered part of it. Can any ham apply for an experimental license? How does this work?
Well, anyone, not even a ham, can apply for an experimental license. I went trolling through the ones that were issued before and after mine and found stuff like SpaceX and the rocket people associated with Blue Origin. So you don't even actually have to be a ham. This is used also a lot of times for proof of concept for new pieces of equipment. But in general, it's supposed to be for some sort of scientific experiment. So I had kind of thought of a scientific experiment regarding this and a lot of curiosity with eSkip lately, and how that works and how it differs. And, we have a big jump from 10 meters to 6 meters.
Yes.
That's a pretty wide jump considering how E-layer propagation works and potentially F-layer propagation. And so I kind of thought up a study of how I could do this, and I put that into the license and applied for it, and for both 40 and 72 megahertz. which, so 4 meters or 70 megahertz in Europe is a very active ham band, apparently. And, so we, you know, we had some success with 40 megahertz and we're gonna hopefully have some success on 4 meters as well.
How long, Lynn, between the time you actually submitted your application, how much time passed between that time and the time that you actually got the authorization?
It seems like it took about 30 days. It seems like they kind of have a, you know, they want to get this stuff turned around. I think that in the past it had taken a long time and there had been some, you know, political pushback and stuff about how long it was taking. I mean, we all know that the FCC is highly underfunded for what their scope is. So I was actually surprised that they came back within 30 days. And as I said, kind of surprised they came back with a yes, but you know, I came up with a good experimental plan and laid that out. So there's science in here. It's not just, hey, let's see if we can talk from here to here.
Right. And how long does the authorization last?
I believe it lasts through July of 2024, or 2023. However, it's renewable upon application. They want their, you know, they, if there's a problem, obviously they can terminate at any time, but also to maintain this and make sure that there's not people just, you know, wandering around that have an experimental license that really should have a permanent license and be in a permanent home, so to speak.
Certainly. Well, I've been particularly intrigued by what you've been doing on 8 meters, and specifically, what is the actual frequency? 40 point what?
So what I did is I applied for the ISM band, which is 40.66 to 40.7, kind of figuring that would be a good, have a good potential, because it also overlaps with, I believe it's Slovenia, and Ireland have an allocation there for ham radio. But my actual dial frequency, you know, we got this dial frequency issue, like 60 meters. So my dial frequency that I'm using is 40.662 upper sideband. And then I'm transmitting either whisper, or, FT8, at the suggestion of Dr. Taylor, K1JT, to send, some FT8 as well at, 40.6635, which is 40.662 up 1500 hertz. So it's dead in the middle of the waterfall on FT8 and whisper.
Now, how long has your beacon been operational so far?
So only a few days. You know, I had been playing with it and trying to get it working and dealing with different pieces of hardware and had had some struggles with that since the grant. And within 3 days of it being on the air, and there it goes, it's transmitting right now. Within 3 days of it being on the air, I was able to work the bugs out and get a decent antenna up. Ironically enough, I live, and I hope this is okay, I live 2 miles from a major ham radio store located in Atlanta.
Well, of course.
And I went over there to, because I was like, okay, I don't have a mobile in the car that'll do this, and I needed a center insulator to build an antenna and some other stuff, and it's dangerous to live that close to a ham radio store, by the way. And so I popped over there and I was like, hey, which one of these is on an antenna? I need to listen. He goes, well, what band? And I go, well, it's 40 megahertz. And he goes, 40 meters? I go, no, 40 megahertz. Well, you can't be transmitting there. I'm like, well, you can't. I can right now, but anyway, it's a long story, but can we just turn one of these? And I couldn't hear it 2 miles away. So I knew that I was having some major issues. So I started going through and found a bad jumper after the, after some, filters and stuff that was masking the SWR. So anyway, within a couple of days of getting that going, the beacon was received by a local ham, on his remote, when I was working with him, KD4Z, and I was able to hear it I'm in EM73. I was able to hear it in EM74 with his help. And so that was the first person to hear it. But then we got some surprises.
Oh, well, before you describe the surprises, if you could back up just a little bit, what kind of antenna are you using? What did you end up with?
Well, I was playing with a lot of really complicated stuff, and I thought back to my ham radio class that I took from the Clearwater, Florida Amateur Radio Society in 1990. If in doubt, try a dipole.
There you go.
So, literally, I said, okay, let's throw out everything I've been trying that was complicated, and let's just, because I knew that there was some upcoming openings. Okay. And so I had seen that there were some big openings happening, and we were having some transatlantic 6 meter. And I was like, I got to get something on the air. So let's go back to basics. And I put up a dipole, and my license, unlike a ham radio license, you have to be very accurate with the FCC, and you're not allowed to just do anything you want. So you have to tell them what you're using. So my license for this was submitted with omnidirectional only. So I thought, okay, well, let's just be to the letter of the license. Absolutely. And I put up a dipole suspended vertically. So it's literally blue 18 gauge wire and a center insulator hung from a tree.
Well, hey, whatever works.
It yeah. And then we got big surprises, because I was not expecting at reception. I mean, I kind of talked about it on the 8 meter forum. It's actually a forum for 8 and 5 meters, which there's no way I could do here because there's this pesky little thing called TV channels in the middle of the way.
Ah.
Yeah. The TV channel 4 here would have really not been happy. It wouldn't have gotten approved. So I just didn't even try.
Okay. And so what now are your surprises, or what were your initial surprises?
So I put it on the air, and I had talked about it on Facebook group. So it got picked up by a blog, a ham radio blog in Ireland, that I was on the air, and by EI7GL. And so that, I think, got some people tuning in, so to speak. And it got picked up on another ham radio website as well. And so first was, let's see, VE3QC in FN25 via Whisper. WhisperNet reported it back. Now, if you go to Whisper, there's no 8 meter search for the band. So you have to go to the database function and search for the experimental license call. And so then shortly after that, it got a little better and a little better with him and a little better. And then it faded out, and it peaked around a minus, let's see here, about a minus 25. So not a huge signal, but, you know, wouldn't have worked with FT8, but with Whisper, it did work. And then in the middle of that, G7PUV in England picked it up, and his signal peaked at around, let's see, what was it, about a minus 16, which is definitely FT8 territory.
Oh yeah.
So and potentially even voice territory, and definitely CW territory. So I got some messages back and forth with these people, and I also want to throw out a shout out to VE2DLC. He's friends with VE3QC, and they got together, and he's over in FN58, so he was also receiving it. And then we had one more final receiver, and this was interesting because those guys were all eSkip, and the station in England was multi-hop, you know, maybe 3-4 hop eSkip.
Yes.
But then a guy in North Carolina, an EM95, picked it up via what I think was probably Tropo. So these are, you know, this is all new, you know, this is all new stuff. Since it's a different band, knowing how it's going to behave is a little interesting because, you know, I don't think we see a lot of Tropo on 10 meters. So here we've got a little Tropo happening at 40.
How much power are you running on Whisper?
So it's between 10 and 20 watts. just so that the radio doesn't overheat and such. Because it's on about a 20% duty cycle, so 2 minutes out of every 10 it will transmit. So if you just tune in there and listen and say, "Oh, he's not there," then you gotta wait around for 10 minutes at least.
And if you do FT8, what about your power level there?
I got to cut it back even more because it, unless I'm in the shack and I'm just going to sit here, I have to run it back even more because the duty cycle, there's not a way for the software to say beacon in FT8. You know, it's not intended for that. It's intended for two-way QSOs. So looking at a way to potentially modify that, I'm not a coder. So if you're messing around with WSJT code and you're a coder, shoot me an email because I need some help because I don't know how to, I'm not of the era where you had to learn that to get your degree in university. So I learned Apple Basic, and that's not going to cut it with this stuff. I would have to learn to sharpen my pencil in a whole new way.
I think we may have a number of coders that listen to this podcast. Do you want to broadcast your email?
Sure. It's LIN Lima, India, November at NI4Y.radio. That's it.
Oh, that's easy to remember.
Yeah, I got one of those fancy .radio ones.
At least when you're running Whisper. Are you running this 24/7?
I try to, but I live in Atlanta, Georgia, or nearabouts, and we have these pesky little thunderstorms here quite often. And yesterday I left it on and I saw on our neighborhood Facebook group that there was a lightning strike right out somebody's house that was down the street from me. And I drove home with much scare, with much fear that the radio had smoked, but it had not. So we were lucky. So I try to leave it on as much as I can, but yeah, sometimes we do turn it off, and particularly if it's not at a time of day at which, or it doesn't look like it's going to be a good e-skip day, then I might turn it off.
Now, I should point out that anybody that has, a transceiver with extended receive coverage or, say, an SDR receiver or whatever, they can eavesdrop on your beacon.
Yes, this is true. And please do, because... if not, I'm just this guy shouting to nothing at the top of a mountain. I mean, if you want to talk about the deadest of all dead bands, 8 meters in the United States is like nothing. I mean, it's without anybody hearing me, the experiment is pretty useless. So we're trying to get some people to listen, monitor, and report back. And that's one of the things I'd like to talk to somebody that's a coder about, is coming up with data collection and to kind of let the cat out of the bag with an application that I'm very soon to file. I have located a few other stations to request to the FCC to add to the license. And we may request to, I'm also requesting to slightly extend the frequency range. So if you're listening to this in the future, please come back and check WL2XUP on QRZ for the current frequencies, because they may have to change due to, you know, the FCC was very serious about, if I interfere with anybody, I have to move or the license will be terminated. So please stay up to date. You know, if you're trying to listen, go there first and double check, because we're going to have the dial frequency and how to do it and all that.
Excellent. And this is real science.
Yeah. I mean, the idea here is I want to transmit this signal, and I would like to also transmit amateur signals on 10. So it signals on 10 with a ham radio call sign, signals on 8. With the experimental license, signals on 6 with the ham radio call sign, and signals on 4 or very close to 4 with the experimental license, and then data collect that information to better understand how these frequency jumps are impacted by e-skip, the spotlighting effect that we see on 6 meters, where, you know, you can hear the DX station, but your neighbor one grid square away is, you're on the on Facebook with them, and then you're going, well, I don't see him. Why? You know, we don't really fully understand why all that stuff is going on. So I hope that this experiment will be able to, you know, get enough people listening and get a few more people transmitting, and be able to do that. And the thing I would say is, and please don't everybody email me, but if you have or want to do this, and you happen to have, it seems like the easiest one to modify is an IC7100, and you live in the Northwest United States, or the Northeast United States, or Hawaii, or Puerto Rico, I want to talk to you, because we've got people in other places, but I don't have people there to be transmitters. And so I want to select one station in each of those places to add to the license potentially. And haven't had a lot of success finding people in those spots. So now I will get 8 million emails.
Probably so. Well, Lynn, thank you. This has been really interesting. And I will be listening for you as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll listen for the or please go back to the website and check. I'm working out a 4 meter frequency with the Brits, so that they can hear me, because their land mobile is on 72. So I'll transmit on 72, and they're going to listen, and I'm going to listen on 70, and hopefully we'll have a transatlantic on 4 meters for another first.
You bet. Thanks, Lynn.
All right, 7-3.
Tune in again for the next episode of Eclectic Tech, produced by ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. Music is provided by Purple Planet at purpleplanet.com. If you have comments, email eclectic@arrl.org. This episode is copyright ARRL, and all rights are reserved. I'm Sabrina Jackson, KC1JMW. See you next time.